you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. Middle of September. It's just like,
already?
Oh, wow.
It keeps marching along no matter what we try and do to stop it.
Yep, you're right. It's just kind of crazy. In fact, I didn't get to recap yesterday during the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, but Monday night's rehearsal with the Singing Men of GNN. Those of you that weren't tuned in for the last few weeks, I've been making a lot of announcements that we've moved our Monday night rehearsals to the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. And we appreciate Pastor Chuck over there and the whole team, just how they made it really easy and accommodating and smooth. And we had some new guys join us and some old veterans rejoin us. And so, yeah, veterans and old veterans, double entendre again, some that have served in our military, and it was just a great rehearsal. Steve McCleary was a little concerned early on during our summer break that would we have enough to do the four-part harmonies? Does he have to rewrite some of the music? And he felt like we had a lot of strong voices on Monday night. So,
oh, great.
There's still time for you to join us. We actually worked on Christmas music on Monday night. I was thinking like Steve would kind of over the next few weeks make the transition in, but we had a very healthy warm-up and then right into three or four different Christmas numbers.
Wow.
So we'll have two concerts this December, one at Marketplace Mall in Champaign and the other at the Village Mall in Danville. And then we worked on the national anthem so we can present at, I think, three or four different U of I sporting events in the coming days. So, oh, yeah, Singing Men are kicked off, but I sent all the guys away with one or two different invite cards to pass on to another guy to come join us on Monday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. So, men, if you have a desire to sing and declare the wonders of God, this would be a great time to join us or rejoin us as we're just preparing for Christmas concerts in December and the national anthem. So, commit to about 12 weeks of rehearsals, and you'll fit in really good. So, oh, wow, the 12th, the middle of the week, a lot going on. In fact, tomorrow we don't have English conversation class, so 1 week break, and then we'll launch into another six-week series. I think last week I talked about, I don't think I showed you this, but do you like this? That'll be the topic of the words that we'll talk about, and then with the facial expression.
How do you feel today?
Yeah.
This is like, it did something like this when I was...
third grade, fourth grade.
Yeah.
How do you feel today?
I had to go to the counselor in school, and they gave me this paper. How do you feel? Which one is you?
Oh, and you pointed out, yeah, these are all these emojis.
That's yeah, I guess so.
This was actually
these are really detailed. Blissful?
Yeah, yeah. Overwhelmed. And they're really good little, I talked about this a little with Marianne the other day, but it's just classic, all these words, suspicious, and then they show that. And so we'll talk about these words. And then put them in the sentences. And
you know, oh, very nice.
Kind of fun. But that'll be next week and the following week, the 20th, we'll start up again. So, anyways, Prime Life Times paper is making inroads throughout the area. We talked a lot about that yesterday and last week. And, yeah, the September edition is being read and being looked at. And good inroads with that.
So. Yeah, that's great. God is on the move.
I think God is on the move.
God is on the move.
I think so. I need a little of that coffee, even though I don't drink coffee.
It's good. Yes. It's really good. I highly suggest a coffee.
Now, what's that 2018?
I don't know what any of this is. I don't know what any of this is. This is Starbucks. I'm not really a big Starbucks fan. There's another coffee shop in town that I would prefer to go to, but it's out of the way, so I don't go there on this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
It's already early enough, right? It's 7:23. It's very early. But
that was 7:32, and now we're like at 7:38.
Yeah, 7:38.
7:39 now.
Yeah, and I got to get here at like 4 in the morning because you have to purge out things that are going on.
Yeah, thanks for getting here extra early. A lot to talk about. Parenting.
Yeah, parenting.
Yeah, that was like...
Even in the best of times, you know, I think that's when it was a Thoreau wrote, you know, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. And maybe it wasn't Thoreau who wrote that, but that's certainly true where parenting is concerned. I was thinking about the day before we do devotionals every morning. And, you know, everybody gets out their Bibles. And first of all, it's a struggle just to get everybody down to the table. And so you finally get them down to the table, and some of them are wrapped in blankets, and some of them are dressed, and some are not, even though they got to go to school in like 25 minutes after we start. We get them down to the table, and so we were going through this one passage. It really was a good devotional that we did, I think. We had some good conversation around the table, but it just began as it usually, this is how it usually goes. I usually say, Dad, where are we at? You know, they're all kind of open up their Bibles, and that's kind of a chore. And Abigail, are you in Matthew chapter 3? Yeah. And then Molly will go, no, you're not. You're in Ezekiel. Oh, I thought that said Matthew.
Oh,
you know, there's clearly a difference between Matthew and Ezekiel in tone, tenor, and wording. So finally, when we get all the Bibles open, and the person who's the most worried about getting their Bible open is Samuel, who can't even read. And so that's just kind of funny. So we finally get them all opened, and, you know, this particular morning I said, okay, Matthew chapter 3, let's read verses 1 through 6, because that kind of completes a thought. And so Jacob starts reading Matthew chapter 3, he gets to verse 6, and then he reads verse 7, and then he reads verse 8, and then he stops, even though verse 9 completes the thought, and verse 6 is where he was supposed to stop. And so I'm like, well, can we just read verses 8 and 9, so we complete the thought. So Abigail begins to read, and she reads verse 8, and she reads verse 9, and then she reads verse 10.
Oh, Jesus.
And finally I kind of cut her off, and I go, okay, so what did John the Baptist do in the beginning? And so, you know, the kids are like, well, he came preaching. And then Abigail goes, can I continue reading now?
Jeez.
No, we guys already went beyond where we were supposed to be. And so it's just, that's how it is.
Yeah.
And so, but we did have a really good devotional time, and maybe our time it will help some other people, I think. But we talked about Matthew chapter 3, where it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so, you know, one of the things I said to the kids, I said, well, what did John the Baptist come and preach? And they said, well, repent. And I said, well, what does repent mean? You know, one of the kids said, well, repent means to say you're sorry for the bad things you've done. Okay, well, that's kind of right. What does repent mean? Well, repent means to tell God you're sorry. Well, that's right. Keep going. Hmm. And so we were talking about and getting them to the point where they understood that repentance actually means in the Hebrew to turn. Yeah. It's physical. It's to turn from one direction to the other. And so why is he giving the command to repent? Well, he says repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the first thing is, I said, what do you think is the kingdom of heaven? And Jacob says, well, that's God's abode. I said, okay, sort of. What else do you think? And well, that's where we'll go when we die. That's where eternal life is at. Okay, well, you're all right, but let me ask you a question. I said, whose house is this? And they said, well, this is our house. I said, well, is this our house if we're not in it? And they go, ooh, have we moved? Yes, we've moved. We packed up all our stuff and we're no longer in this house. Is this still our house? Well, no, it would be somebody else's house. Exactly. So what makes this our house? Well, us being in it. I said, exactly. The kingdom of heaven is only possible because of the presence of God. Without God's presence, without who God is, the kingdom of heaven would not exist. That kingdom would not exist. It's only for the king that the kingdom is defined. And so they were like, whoa, Dad, that's so good. I'm like, yeah, I know, I get paid big money to do this. Yes. You know, but we talked about, you know, the king. So John the Baptist comes and he says, the kingdom of heaven. So he's saying God. God is at hand. And I said, well, what does it mean when something's at hand? You know, well, it means that it must be close, right? You could reach out your hand and you could grab it. I said, exactly. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. It's near you. It's close to you. Some translations might even say it's upon you. It's right. It's available. And so what does that mean? That means, well, God has made his presence available to us. He's brought his presence near to us. Mm-hmm. He is right here. You could reach out and touch him. Well, why can't you reach out and touch him then? What's the problem in the text? The problem in the text is defined by the word repentance, right? Because repentance means to what? The kids go, turn. I go, exactly. And if you have to turn, what's the problem? Well, you're faced the wrong way. Exactly. the people who John the Baptist is preaching to were turned the wrong direction. They didn't even realize that God was right here, that he was present, that he was at hand, that he was available, that they could reach out and grab a hold of him. And what did they need to repent from? Their sin, because they were turned towards their sin. And so they were reaching out, grabbing, and taking part in their sin instead of taking part in the very thing that could save them. And so John the Baptist says you need to turn, because right now what you're doing is you're reaching, you're focused, you're attentive to the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
You need to turn because God is at hand. You don't even realize that he's here. And he's right here. You don't even realize it because you're turned the wrong direction. And we were like, they were like, oh, Dad, that's really good. Oh, wow, that, you know, that's good. I said, yeah. I said, now wait, let's take this one step further. I said, I just want to add a layer of this here, and maybe this might be helpful to somebody this morning. But when we turn towards somebody, what's one way that we let them know that we're paying attention to them? Because that's what God is saying. God's saying, repent. Repent from where your attention is and your desire is, and pay attention and have me be your desire. Well, how do we do that? And Molly, she was very wise. Molly said, well, when we talk to somebody, we generally make eye contact
mm-hmm.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, right, so when we talk, we make eye contact, right? I said, how do we talk to God? This is right away Samuel, 4 years old. We pray. I said, yeah, we pray. Exactly.
God bless America.
Yeah, God bless America. I said, we pray. Exactly. So I said, isn't that amazing that one of the ways, one of the great ways that we can turn our attention upon God, to turn towards the kingdom, to turn towards the right direction, to make sure that we are paying attention to what is at hand, is to make contact with him mm-hmm. by talking to him, by making, literally, kind of making eye contact. That's what prayer is, making eye contact with God. And reaching out to him. And I said, prayer lines us up with God. It takes us away from what we're doing over here and orientates us towards God. And so we talked about that after trying to at least get to just part of the text. We ended up reading all of it. And even at the end, it's so funny because we're, you know, well, yeah, we pray. So what do you think we should do now? And Abigail goes, read the rest of the Matthew chapter 3. I go, no, you're still on that. No, we pray. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But I just loved, I love every morning getting an opportunity to wrestle with the kids. And I thought, I don't care if you do it in the morning, you do it at night, whenever you do it. But just getting a chance to wrestle what God does and what God says with somebody else, because it really brings some things to light. And I don't know, maybe there's somebody who needed to hear this today, but I need to hear that sometimes, that God is at hand, that he's right here. And that sometimes my problem is not that I don't believe, trust, and know who God is. It's that I'm turned the wrong way.
Right.
You know, I mean, how many times have we said, you know, God, where are you? You know, maybe he's right here. He's tapping you on the shoulder, and you're not paying attention.
Right.
I mean, it reminds me of so many times that my wife and I are doing something, and I get caught up in a conversation, and she has to kind of just gently put her hand on my shoulder and remind me that she's still here and that she wants to be a part of what's happening. You know, because I've got my attention focused on something else. And friends, we need to. John the Baptist here instructs. Now, he's talking about salvation here. He's saying you need to repent and turn from that. Because actually the passage goes on to say that he quotes Isaiah. And then he says, many people then began to come from all Judea and all Jerusalem to the Jordan to be baptized by him. So lives were being changed. You know what I love about this passage too, Mark, that my kids and I will talk about it maybe in a day or so when we get there. But we've already read it. We've already read all of Matthew chapter 3, is that John the Baptist is an unlikely candidate, right? Because the Bible even goes out of its way to say he wears the camel-haired coat, he's got the leather belt, he eats locusts and wild honey. The guy's nuts. He's a nutter. And so the fact that people are coming out to have their lives changed by the message that he's proclaiming means that the message is always bigger than the man, that the message that he's preaching is bigger than the man. So it's not dependent upon the man, because if it was dependent upon the man, nobody was going to come out to see John because he's crazy. He dresses crazy, he acts crazy, he does crazy things. Imagine, he's standing in the water all day long inviting people to come in and have their lives changed and be baptized. He's crazy. The message is bigger than the man.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the, we always call, what we say in our house is, we say there's mega messages and micro messages. And so for us today, or for us when we talked about this, we said this is a micro message. The micro message is, where is our attention? Is our attention on God, or is our attention on other things? And how do we need to turn to see God? The mega message here is salvation. And this is lives being changed. And so one of our prayers the next day was, you know, Lord, hey, Abigail and Samuel and Molly have not yet proclaimed that you are Lord God, Savior, and King. Help them to repent and to turn, to see the kingdom, to grab a hold of it, because it is right here and it is at hand, that you gently want to take their hand and walk them towards Jesus, and then they can get in the water. And it doesn't matter if they're perfect. They could wear the camel hair coat and eat the locusts and the wild honey and do all kinds of crazy things. What you care about is their hearts, and you want to lead them triumphantly to the cross. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the mega message, and we pray that for the kids. But yeah, the micro message is kind of where is our focus, and how we can make contact with God by praying. And so I think that's so important that we just go to the Lord and pray. You know, it was so funny because we got done doing this, and my wife is down at the other end of the table. She always sits at, like, right across from me at the table. And our table's big enough with the leaf in it that it feels like she's on the other end of, like, another country. Like, it's far enough away. And so I can't really, sometimes I can't get a sense. So this, during the process of us doing this message, she's, like, over there, and I see her, like, getting red-faced and, like, getting weepy. And I'm, like, usually the one in the... My wife cries 2 times a year. That's it, 2 times a year, and it, like, busts out. And usually it's like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong? The cat died in the yard. I'm like, all the other things we've been through, that's the one? Oh, my gosh, I cry all the time. But she doesn't. And so she was, like, kind of, like, getting emotional. And I'm like, you okay? She's like, she goes, you were talking about that. And right before we started our devotional, didn't you hear on the music in the background was turn your eyes upon Jesus? Huh. And I was like, yeah, I totally blamed it. It was like my setup. I was like, yeah. I'm like, no, I didn't. I said, wow, I didn't even hear that. She goes, no. She goes, because you were paying attention to the wrong thing. I go, touche. Thank you, honey. I love you, too. Isn't it time for me to go?
Well, you were talking about the prayers, and I was thinking also how many times we don't want to pray for those that we don't like. Whether it's presidential candidate or a different party or, you know, somebody that's maybe acting out. And we're always told, are you praying for your enemies? Are you praying for those people that are persecuting you? And how that does make there become a shift in your mindset. And usually, I mean, I don't know if it's God's strategy, but when we do pray for someone, we tend to have more feelings towards them or wanting the best for them. And God kind of recalibrates us, if you will. And so, and certainly when we pray to him, it's hard to be in the midst of sin and try to pray effectively to God.
Oh, yeah. I think that's why coming into his presence, I preached that on Sunday. I was talking about, you know, we have this assurance, that Hebrews 6:19, we have this assurance, steadfast anchor of the soul that enters in behind the curtain into the holy place. And I use that as the proof text to kind of talk about Acts 27 and Paul's shipwreck story. And it's interesting, in Paul's shipwreck story, the ship is going to go down. I mean, things are not going well. And it says that for 14 days there was no stars and no, they couldn't see the sky, which means it was dark. And, you know, in that day, that's the navigation system. So the navigation system is offline. So people are growing increasingly more hopeless. And in that passage, it even says that they threw the cargo overboard, which means money no longer mattered to them. They were so fearful. And it says they threw the tackle over. So they were throwing part of what could have maybe saved their lives overboard. I mean, they just began to lose. And then the text says they began to believe they were not going to survive. Mm. And Paul stands up. He's not fearful. Why? Because he has a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. That's Jesus Christ. And so when you see an anchor, you know, an anchor has an up bar. And it has the curved bottom with the two large claws. And Paul says to the people, he says, this God whom I belong to and whom I worship. Mm. And I said, you know, when you're going through a storm in life, I said, the two claws of the anchor for you are what Paul says to these men. He says, I belong to God. Because if you're going through a storm and you say, you know what, this sucks, this is really hard, this is really difficult, but I belong to you. Mm. You bought and purchased me at a price. You love me more than I could even imagine that I'm loved. I belong to God. You suddenly do not despair in the same way. What's the other claw of the anchor? I worship him. Because nothing can kill the winds of a bad storm like worship. You know, where you say, look at, I'm going through a bad season, but I belong to God and I worship him. And worship is not just singing, though singing I think is really powerful in the midst of something that's really horrible. But worship is anytime when we lift our heart up and to give God the glory. Anytime that we pray and we seek Him, we open up His Word, we just rest upon Him. Whatever it is, that's called worship. That's coming into His presence and trusting who He is. And so I think that that's so important to do, to remember that claiming that we are, in fact, God's people and that we worship Him. You know, one of the worst things I think that could happen, and I've done it so many times, is to be in the middle of something bad happening and then kind of give the thing that's happening that's bad more weight and power than God. Yeah. You know, I mean, how many times have I prayed or you prayed or people have prayed and said, Lord, if it's possible that you could help in this situation. He's God. Of course He can help. He created the world. Lord, if you could just get me out of this. Of course He can get you out of that. He can make the days go backwards in Hezekiah's time. I mean, He can do anything and all things, but we talk to Him like suddenly He cannot do anything.
Right.
And yet He can do all things. And so I agree with you. I mean, and I think prayer is worship. I think coming into His presence and saying, I have no answers. I need to ask you for some. And so I think that we just need to remember that. I belong to God. I worship God. I pray to Him. I read His Word. I seek after Him. I trust in Him. I follow His lead, not my own. And I think that'll save us from a lot of the troubles that we have. You know, and again, that's all part of turning towards Him. But so often we want to go our own way, right? I think there was there's a rock and roll song like that, Carry On My Wayward Son. And I think, oh my gosh, listen to the title of the song. You know what I mean? It's just, that's us, all of us, apart from Christ.
I was just looking up, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, to close out with
song.
So there we go, everyone. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and it'll all work out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Turn